and welcome to episode 38 of Radio Radar. It is the week of hate, which means we pulled out the big guns and wrote some articles that you people hated.
Arr, hate,
I'm Hollander Cooper. Here with me is...
Tom Agrino.
Ryan Telchinick.
And Lucas Sol.
Yarr, hate, yarr.
Why are you going pirate?
You're sounding like Reptar over here.
Pirates are very hateful.
Reptar?
I mean, a Reptar bar, please.
For poops and goodness.
I feel like you're just making up words, man.
Reptar was from Rugrats.
What the fuck is wrong?
And Reptar bar was a popular snack on the show Rugrats.
It's also a skating move.
Okay.
So it is the week of hate. Week of hate Mark II. We're giving another go at it, and we made it through it without any...
Yeah.
Without any, I mean, there were plenty of
deaths.
I mean,
there were, you know, those women who were found their way out of captivity.
Rescued. They were rescued.
That's true.
This might as well be the week of hope.
There were the five women who burned to death on the San Mateo Bridge on Monday.
But were they,
Israel
wait,
did
wait,
declare,
wait, wait, weren't they in a limo, declare, though?
They were.
That's fucking first world problem.
They were in a limo?
Yeah.
Why? Israel did declare war on Syria.
Oh, shiz.
Again, to be fair... Syria.
Wait,
kind of
in the bachelor party, did the bride die?
Israel kind of.
I don't
crazy.
Know. Probably.
What? Oh yeah, she died.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
What
yeah.
an awful bachelor party.
No, yeah, totally.
Bachelorette I mean, party.
Whatever.
Presumably, the bachelor party was going on at the same time, and so they were having loads of fun while their
it's
significant.
It's still going on.
But you could never be a happy person after that.
No, because you partied while your wife was burning, or soon to be wife.
Actually, well, Tom, let's ask. I mean,
yeah.
Wouldn't that have?
I mean, it saved him a lifetime of grief, no doubt. But...
You guys are horribly God. Insensitive.
We're in the hate mindset.
I'm leaving.
Week of hate.
Yeah.
And the top seven was hate themed, so let's roll into it with the top seven things gamers hate and why they shouldn't.
Yeah.
And,
why it's just kind of really ridiculous for you guys to hate.
Yeah. So let's start with number seven, casual games.
Casual
now,
games.
Casual games is probably that's why it's number seven. The thing on this list gamers hate the least, but they still really don't like casual games. Whenever there's an iPhone... anything announced and people mention games, the usual reaction is like, well, those aren't real games,
right?
So fuck them.
Or there's like a new pony game that's announced for the DS
or even when
like
there's
that.
Like even when there's like Animal Crossing, there are people that are just like, it's fuck that, it's just, it's not a real game,
right?
The mindset of that there's a difference between the games you like and the games other people like, and one of them being real games and one of
right.
them not. And the reason that...
And there's an element of mutual exclusivity here.
Yes.
Where you can't have both the games that you like and the games that other people like.
There's Angry Birds,
uh-huh.
which is an app. And then there is...
Call of Duty.
Call of Duty or like The Witcher 2.
Right. Which is a game for men.
Exactly.
And women who like games.
Yes.
You almost went sexy.
Yeah, I did. I had to correct
back.
That
And
one.
Transgender
you
people.
Back.
Back off, bro.
Right.
And transgender people.
All people.
You added
all,
that
it's
too
an
late.
Inclusive
right.
thing.
Everybody likes The Witcher.
Right.
I mean, I'm pretty sure girl would have sex with anything and anyone.
Do you say girl or Geralt?
Geralt.
I heard girl.
I didn't know. I was like, Geralt. Who are you talking about?
Geralt
right
of...
Rivia.
Rivia.
I believe it's Gerald.
Man, woman, transgender.
Certainly not Gerald.
He doesn't discriminate.
But the reason you shouldn't hate it is because you're not the only person playing games.
Right.
And there's time to do both things. You can sit on the toilet playing Bejeweled.
I was literally just shitting and playing Candy Crush Saga.
You started playing Candy
In this
Crush
room.
Saga?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
Dude,
that.
Dude,
why?
Candy Crush Saga is so good.
Like,
no,
you
so
know
bad.
How I, bad the bathroom situation
I cleared
is here.
The jelly.
We have two stalls.
Congratulations, bro.
Yeah,
that's
about
fracked up.
Dude.
Here's the thing
and
about...
if you're
yeah.
sitting in there...
Let's talk about this for a second, because right. this is a good point. I was so nervous when Future, our company, said, we're going to condense everyone onto one floor, because
uh-huh.
we used to have two floors.
Right.
And I said, oh my
and
God.
And a PlayStation magazine.
And many other magazines. But yes. I said to myself, oh my God, I shit at least three times a day. How will this work when there are at least 80 men
who all
with two stalls?
Yeah. It doesn't work. That's
there,
the answer.
There's so many times you just see, like, or any of us, like, we'll walk into the bathroom, you go, you try the first door,
nope.
despite knowing full well that door only
closes,
oh, that
when,
door
somebody's
closes
in
when somebody's
it.
In it. And then the second door, that second door doesn't.
It's always
you
closed.
Pray to
it's
God.
Always closed.
But you never
pray
know.
To God.
And you give it a jiggle, and then you go, fucking shit.
And then you leave the room
and you go and you sit at your desk and you stare at the door.
I don't even have that luxury. I can't see behind
me. I just stare at the door. And if somebody starts walking towards the bathroom and doesn't immediately come out, I'm like, dude, fuck you. Wait in line.
Yeah, seriously. No, I mean,
haven't you guys noticed, like, you can actually see the angle of the door. If the door is protruding just a little bit at a certain angle that you walk in, you can tell. You don't even need to check.
Well, the first sometimes door. You can't. The second door sometimes is a little tricky.
Here's the other thing. I've mastered it.
So I can tell every time. Here's my thing. I don't care if they're both shut with a do not disturb sign. I'm going to go, and I'm just going to fucking jiggle it around.
Just
because
so that person knows.
Stop playing Candy Crush, Saga. Right. I need to take a gigantic
shit.
I
want to know if this bothers anybody else. But one thing that weirds me out a little bit is when I'm taking a shit, and somebody else is taking a shit, and they're just explosive. Or, alternatively...
I mean, that'd be uncomfortable for anybody.
I mean, it's weird
I mean, do you feel like you need to be as explosive as they are?
No, losing battleships.
It's not a competition. I get to a point where I'm like, I don't want to make any noise until everyone's gone. Or the other thing that happens sometimes that I find really weird is I'll be doing my business and somebody will come into the urinals adjacent to the stall and just rip the most ass I've ever heard in my life. And I'm just like,
That's me.
But while they're pissing next to somebody else, and I'm just like, I couldn't do that.
No, I couldn't do it either. I remember,
I'm in a stall, nobody knows who I am. Actually, that's not true. I've gotten really good at recognizing people by their shoes.
Yes.
So I will
my
know.
My greatest fear realized.
Tom, trust me, you and I have taken some shits together.
Oh, no.
You're exposed.
Anyways, I was just curious.
I'm never going into anything other than stall number. I want to be able to break into the third floor just so I can shit in peace.
Yeah, meanwhile, don't we all? That was really loud.
Man.
Anyways, I was just curious what you guys thought about bathroom etiquette.
Oh, is that all? Is that what you wanted to talk about?
It's number six.
Number six, so, and similar.
I mean, I'm wondering if there's anybody who actually goes into the shower stall and will just do their business in there.
Absolutely.
No. I have definitely considered it on occasion.
Wait, there's a shower stall?
Yeah, no.
There's no toilet
in there, but if you just take a dump and then run enough water, it'll eventually wash
out. Oh, my God.
What about the toilet paper?
I mean, you're in the shower anyway. Just take off your clothes.
You just do what they do in Japan and squirt a bunch of water up your asshole.
Yeah, it's like a bidet, only it's coming in from the top instead of the bottom.
Like, fuck it, I just gotta spray some water.
Do a handstand, right.
But then you risk it just running down your face.
Exactly.
Or you can do what they do in China and just wipe with your left hand and then shake with your right.
And just use somebody's soap
in there.
People leave their soap in there.
I mean, that's what they say on the internet.
It seems like you have everything you need to use the shower stall.
Can you lock the shower stall?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Then that's my new thing.
I mean, I would
go to the bathroom and I'm gone for a while and I come out and I'm soaking wet. Yeah. Just assume that I took a gigantic shit and then took a cold shower.
Right.
Speaking of shit, I was in the city yesterday and there was just a giant ass pile. Very obviously a human pile.
Oh my
in
God.
SF.
Good God.
Right next to one of those fake, or not fake, but decorative trees
over
the sidewalk.
You ever go into the city and you know it hasn't rained for a while, but you see a puddle of liquid?
Yeah.
That happens every time I go into the city.
All the time.
And I'm like, it hasn't rained in a good long while. That has to be urination.
So apparently it's the new yuppie thing to potty train their kids diaperless. So their idea is to take children under the age of like 2 and just not have diapers on them. And so they just literally shit on the floor like they're animals.
What?
And like, it's fine. Apparently this is a big thing in New York. But unlike if they were animals and like you're taking a dog for a walk, if they're taking their kid for a walk and the kid just shits on the sidewalk, they don't carry baggies. So they just leave their little child shit on the sidewalk.
These are almost certainly the same people that walk their kids in a fucking monkey leash.
Exactly.
Those backpacks.
It's probably a little monkey leash.
I was on
the
one
kid
at one
is
point.
Shitting on the sidewalk. Everywhere.
Oh, I'm so sorry for you.
I was a douchey little kid.
When I worked in a retail store, people did that all the time, and it drove me nuts. I'm like, God, your kid's on a fucking leash. It's amazing.
Wasn't that in Animaniacs? Like, that little girl was on a leash the whole time, and she'd always like...
Yes.
Number six.
Also, Animaniacs, not Animaniacs.
I said it quickly.
I know the name of it. Been playing too much League over here.
Oh.
Number six.
We should do our league team as shit on a leash or something like that.
That's so dumb.
Really?
Yeah.
Shitting on a leash?
Online passes are number
six on the list of things.
So,
little did you know, we are forming a League of Legends team. A pro circuit. We need help with a name. If you can give us a good League of Legends name, we'll send you like...
Stop promising games. We're almost out.
Yeah, we're running low, buddy.
We'll send you some useless shit we have lying around the office, but we'll sign it or something.
A napkin.
Child shiz.
A bunch of magic cards from Lucas's desk.
Right.
What? We'll pick.
A drawing that we made while pooping.
Right. Ooh. We'll send you something that is worth your time. So if you have a name... that you feel like would suit us. It's Coop, Lucas, Ryan, me,
and
Brian. Our five-man squad.
Yes.
Pro-Lol team.
Pro-Lol.
All right, let's get on with this show here.
And if you have that name, send it to GR Radio Radar on Twitter.
Right.
Number six on the... Did you just do like a... Does anyone else have anything to say?
Yeah, I was like, all right, let's see.
Online passes, things gamers hate and why they shouldn't is number six on the list. And... This is one that people really fucking hate.
Yeah.
Like, compared to casual games, which they kind of passive-aggressively don't exist, online passes infuriates gamers.
This is a thing that it's happening to you.
Like, yes.
Casual games aren't happening to you. This is actually happening to... This requires something of you.
And it is the most blatant attack on used game sales that there has ever been.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things, right? Like, and this was obviously mentioned in the article, but it's... Whatever if you've done any PC gaming, this has been a thing
since the start. Yeah,
you know?
Ever since when you got your copy of, like, Command & Conquer Tiberian Sun, it had a CD key. Right. Like, every game has a CD key.
I mean, granted, it's a little easier to type it in with a keyboard than a gamepad, but it doesn't take that much longer.
It goes from taking 30 seconds to a minute.
60 seconds?
The main issue people have with it is it attempts to stop used game sales. People think, I went and bought the game. It doesn't matter who I bought it from or where I bought it. I spent my money in a legal way to purchase a game, and it should work to 100%.
Meanwhile, PC gamers are like, what are used games?
Yeah. And the counterpoint to that, the reason why you shouldn't hate it.
What are used games? Is that like pirating?
Yeah, used games are... Pirate Bay is
Pirate,
used games.
Pirate Bay.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you just load up your private server and play with all your friends?
Right.
The reason you shouldn't hate online passes is, A, it doesn't take that long to type in, and B... If you are buying a used game, as far as the publisher and developer is concerned, you are pirating the game.
Right. Pretty much. If they have to support like those servers and that stuff costs money and you haven't given them any money.
Yeah, if you go to GameStop, and you buy a game, you are spending, let's say, $45 on a game that's usually $60.
Uh-huh.
You're getting the game that and EA or whoever is now no longer making any money from that game. And they still have to support your gaming habits.
There's no free lunches. This is a business.
And on top of that, every time that there's been an online pass, as far as I can remember, you can buy the online pass for $10.
Yeah.
So you can still, usually for cheaper than the full new price of the game, you can still still get online.
Yeah.
And you'll still end up saving money.
And I get the resentment for this, but at the same time, it's like I'm happy to shell out $10 if it means the people whose games I really enjoy can keep making.
Yeah, if you like the game industry, you should be giving the people who make the games money. And if you're buying it used, then you're not giving those people money.
You know what? I just while talking about online passes, what I just realized
is it good, going to the bathroom.
No. Well, a good entry that would have been on this list: things gamers hate and why they shouldn't. EA, maybe.
I mean, EA is the source of all of these post-release.
Company in America?
No, I mean, they're not. They just invented all of this stuff. They were very future-thinking in ways
to... I don't know about that.
Piss people
the
off.
Online pass? That started with Tiger Woods, I think.
Oh. Sure, but that's one
they
example.
They were at the forefront of Project $10, which was exactly this.
Yeah. No, online passes, yes. Season I don't know about passes. The rest of this, but...
No. I mean, all of the, like, the online pass and the...
other things we'll discuss.
Right, the DLC and all that stuff.
Yeah. They didn't start it all, but they definitely took the ball and ran with it. Yeah. And people hate them for it, despite the fact that it's just... I mean, they're doing all this, and their games are still selling okay, and they're still losing money, and somewhere in there you have to figure that it's because of things like used game sales.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that used game sales are the same as piracy, because I know people get pissed off when you make that analogy, but as far as does the developer make money off of the game they developed, it's exactly the same.
Right.
Number five on the list, another EA joint, Tacked-On Multiplayer.
Spike.
Tacked-On Multiplayer.
It's actually every publisher is
The idea behind Tacked-On Multiplayer is the theory behind used game sales is that if you buy it new, most of those games are going to end up in the used game sale bin within a week. So if they put on multiplayer, then that's like the person who bought the game originally is going to hang on to it for longer than a week, and therefore...
I might go back and play some multiplayer. Right. I may not replay the single-player game, but the idea, you can't beat a multiplayer game, but you can beat a single-player game.
Right.
Once you're done with Assassin's Creed 2, you're done with Assassin's Creed 2.
It's the idea of just keeping that disc in the console as long as possible to keep it off of used game sales.
Yes. Gamers often think that when a game gets a multiplayer component, there is a 100% of effort that could be spent on the game, and once the developer or the publisher says you have to add multiplayer, then 60% is spent on the single player game they want and 40% is spent on the multiplayer, and thus you end up getting a weaker... You get a multiplayer no one gives a fuck about, and you get a weak single player because the publisher got greedy.
And that's often just not the case. I mean, typically, if they're like, also, by the way, you also have to put multiplayer in your game, they're like, cool. Now you get an extra however many months to make it.
Or, like, in the case of, like, Spec Ops, it was like, I mean, that's a game that had multiplayer that wasn't good. It was like, hey, so you're making this game. Give us the assets you've spent. We're going to send it to a developer in Florida who's going to make a Call of Duty clone.
I mean,
not taking things away from the regular studio.
At the same time, they do have to pay the people who are making that multiplayer component. So it's like, it's probably not healthy for the industry to make game develop even more expensive.
Sure, but then you have the case. But the biggest counterpoint is there are more times we can point at where that multiplayer ended up being really good than really bad. You have Mass Effect, which I still know people who play the multiplayer all the fucking time. Mm-hmm. You have Assassin's Creed, where that multiplayer has almost spawned its own genre, and people get excited about it.
Yeah.
And even the cases where it wasn't great.
BioShock 2?
Yeah, BioShock 2 was fine.
It was fine.
Darkness 2? Fine.
Uncharted? Fine.
Uncharted? Fine. Like, and it's like, you know what? I did probably put an extra 6 hours into each one of those games.
Yeah. Fine.
Yeah. Stop fucking complaining. They're fine. You're not actually getting screwed over by a publisher deciding that a game needs multiplayer.
Right.
Is what it comes down to. Number 4 kind of beats on the same drum as number 7, which is free-to-play games.
F2P, if you will.
I mean, this used to freak people the hell out because it meant Farmville and its ilk.
Or, like, RuneScape. It meant a shitty, cheap game that's trying to take all your money.
What do you think? Man, RuneScape was one of the first, like, big free-to-play, like, kind of almost along the same model as we know it now, where it's totally free, but you can spend little chunks of money if you want to.
MapleStory was the same way, I think, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. But RuneScape, man, I started playing that game in middle school.
I have never played RuneScape.
No? Yeah. Oh, you're missing out. It's garbage.
It's too late now. You can enjoy it.
At first, you played it just in a browser, and then eventually you could download a client, and I was like, oh my god, you can get a client.
It's the future.
What? Client. Oh, good god. But the thing about free-to-play games is, and especially the initial reaction of free-to-play games is people initially saw Farmville. They initially saw like all these really, really crappy Facebook games. But eventually, free-to-play games evolved into something that are awesome. Like, League of Legends is awesome.
We're all addicted to that game, right?
But there's also, like,
PlanetSide 2 is awesome.
Hawken
is awesome. There are a lot of very high-quality games. And it's almost making for a better model for just regular gamers, too, because it's like, if you're really liking this game, you can have the opportunity to spend like $10 more, and it feels good to spend that $10 because it's like
pay
you
what
guys,
you want.
Yeah, it's almost like you pay what you want, and even if you don't want to pay anything, you're still getting a really good experience for nearly all of these games.
And I mean, the rumors are that Sony and Microsoft are apparently embracing free to play more for their next gen consoles, and that's exciting to me because, I mean, you don't have to spend any money to play games for the rest of your life, assuming these games live forever.
I mean, the people it helps the most, people like us are probably going to be the people who spend the money. Mm-hmm. But this is great for, like, I remember when there was a time where, like, when there was, like, a new Command & Conquer game coming out, and I was, like, 13.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
$50, where the fuck am I going to get that?
Yeah.
There's no, I am not going to get that. It's going to take me months.
It's Christmas or your birthday?
Christmas or birthday, I'm going to get that.
Hanukkah,
or just begging family members.
Yeah.
And then it's like, but now it's like, if I was gaming then, like if 13-year-old Honda Cooper was gaming now, I would just be playing like, oh, cool, I'm just going to play PlanetSide. Why would I ever play anything other than PlanetSide? Oh, 300 hours into that, now I'm going to go play Lord of the Rings Online. I can grind a little bit more and get everything I need for free.
Yeah. And it's like not all games are obviously going to be suited for this business model, but there are going to be enough really good games out there.
Yeah, and then
they're all worthwhile.
And yet, despite that, when they announced that Command & Conquer Generals 2 was going to be free to play, people were like, "Well, fuck EA, they've ruined something else.
Command & Conquer's dead forever."
Or I saw this.
Granted, EA did
kill
Command &
Conquer.
I really
got to do it.
Let's be honest, they did ruin that series.
I really dip into the r/gaming section of Reddit because it's mostly just pictures of shit. But I did find a particularly funny one, and that was, oh my god, what if DICE made Battlefield 3? Oh my god, what if this company made this awesome game? And then once they realized that all the joke was, once the people saying this realized that all those developers were under EA, they were like, oh fuck, all these games are gonna suck.
Yeah. It's a
long story.
I don't remember why I started
tale.
Tell.
I was expecting something that was going to blow my mind, and then I'm still waiting for the
Here's
punchline.
The thing about when I try and tell a story, generally they're bad.
Yeah, you lose yourself halfway
through. You really just got to bail out. You should just learn when you're halfway through a story, if you start to see that the light at the end of the tunnel is really dim.
Abort.
Just bail out. You don't need to finish the
joke. I'll stop mid-sentence.
You're going to save yourself by hitting the abort, because then you could just be like, oh, abort, abort,
just,
and people just will laugh.
Eject.
People laugh.
That plane's going to crash with or without you. But you can be parachuting
really
down.
Weird.
No,
I mean, it's more
Why
about
is that
laughing.
Fucking kid talking? Jesus, shut him up.
Oh my god. What's next?
Number three, DLC. I remember the beginning of this generation, I was super pumped for DLC.
Really?
I'm trying to remember what game it was. It may have been like Devil May Cry 4 or something, where like there was an option on the main screen that was like DLC, and I was like, holy fuck, this is it. I'm gonna in like a month there's gonna be a sequel. Like nobody really knew what to expect, and then some games did it really well, but still I've seen like when a company announces like, oh yeah, we're gonna have some DLC post launch, the general consensus, it's like 50-50, but half of gamers are like, you money-grubbing sons of bitches.
Yeah, I mean, my big issue with DLC is that if they follow, again, the EA route with something like Mass Effect, where you had the Shadow Broker, which was a very integral part of the story, I felt, that was heavily teased throughout Mass Effect 1 and Mass Effect 2, and then they cordon off the answer behind this $15, you know, DLC purchase. And then when you get to Mass Effect 3, almost a throwaway line is like, oh yeah, Liara's a Shadow Broker. And I'm like, what the fuck? What?
So for me,
how did that fucking happen?
When it comes to that, it's like, it's easy to get annoyed at that, but at the same time, it's like, just consider that a mini sequel. Like, it's another chapter in the game. You just because you choose to only play games with numbers in the title doesn't mean they should be limited to only keeping good information there.
Yeah,
I don't know.
The way we consume games is changing. Things are going episodic. Like
if you're going to hold off a very central, if you're going to tease up a mystery and make it seem like it is something very integral to the game, you should include that as part of the game. That's not an extra purchase. It shouldn't be an extra purchase, especially in this case where half of the DLC for Mass Effect was garbage. It was just absolutely terrible.
I have a bigger problem with the last expansion they released. Just because not only was it terrible,
completely
but
it totally
shaped, and it also shaped the first hour of Mass Effect 3.
Yeah,
really?
Mass Effect 2's it ends with like. With Shepard being like, I could hit this button and kill millions of Turians. Or I could not. Beep! And it's like, what? I didn't get to make that choice? And then the next game starts with you in, like, jail.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But even so, it's like, but that's almost like the exception. A majority of the time people get upset is when it comes to day one DLC, which almost ties more into the online passes idea. But recently, and then the reason you shouldn't hate that is because if you really, really get that angry at it, especially when it's free, where it usually is, you genuinely don't understand how game development works.
Yeah. Which, I mean, is reasonable. I mean, most people don't understand how game development works.
Sure. But let's liberate your mind right now.
Okay.
Because when the game is being made, the way it is made isn't everybody working at 100% until the day the game ships, and then they just start going, we did it. It's a bunch of different people working on a bunch of different parts.
I wish it was like that.
And eventually, as an artist, they go, you're done. The art of the game is done. And as a person who writes the script or the person who designs the game, they finish while QA is finishing fixing right. all of the bugs while the engine is being polished while all this stuff is happening.
And assuming that person isn't just shit canned on the spot,
which 90% of the time they are.
Yeah.
Those people are then told, like, all right, we can't add anything more to the game. Anything we add is going to have a cascading effect of bugs and repercussions. So we can either put you on a sequel or you're already in Mass Effect 3 mode. Start making more content. Mm-hmm. Make another mission. There was a mission we had an idea for earlier. It didn't really fit. Let's make it its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually how DLC is made. It starts then and continues post-development.
And the only counterpoint that I would have to that is like, well, you should give this to me for free. Because this is still just you making game content for the game I just bought.
Yeah, but they're or they could just not make it.
Right, but they are making it.
Sure.
And it's part of the game I just bought.
Okay.
No,
but
it's
then,
not.
But, yeah, exactly.
That's like saying not. You made a sequel to the movie. You made Mass Effect 3. I bought Mass Effect 1. This is all part of a story I bought into it
so here's,
3
here's,
years ago.
Here's the counter that, to that as well is if they just hadn't made it and they fired all those people, they're saving a shit ton of money. And if they keep them on to make DLC, they need to recover that investment somehow. So they sell it.
Yeah,
to
they're
you
making
extra,
they're making content post the initial money.
The assumption of it's either they get laid off or you have to pay for more like 3 weeks of content.
Well,
somewhere.
No, that makes sense.
The
it's
resources
either they're
somewhere.
Laid off or they're paid money. They can't be paid money if the thing they're working on isn't making money.
Or they're working on a new game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Which any of those are an option.
Right.
Either way. Temper your anger when it comes to DLC.
Or at least understand the rationale.
Yes. Number two on the list of things gamers hate and why they shouldn't are yearly sequels. Mm-hmm. And this one also taps into the, if you're really upset at this, if you actually look at how games are made, you'd realize that you're, in most cases, it's not a company spending 8 months on a game, releasing it, Ubisoft has like 5,000 people working on Assassin's Creed year-round.
So... Yeah.
And, more like 1,000.
And I think the anger is a fragment of an artifact, if you will, of previous days in the game industry when actually they did, you know, have teams working 9 months on a game, ship, 9 months, ship, 9 months, ship.
But in the case of like an Assassin's Creed, like Ubisoft has
now
a team in Canada, some teams in the U.S., some teams in Shanghai.
Probably.
Some teams in France.
Brazil.
Yeah. And there's never a minute.
Are you just making this up?
No, they have offices everywhere.
There's never a minute that goes by where there isn't an office of people working on an Assassin's Creed game.
Right.
As
every
their full-time job.
Every day.
Yeah. And guess what? Somebody right now, there's a full team 100% committed to Assassin's Creed 5.
Yeah.
Like, right now, they are full steam ahead. And there's a half studio working on laying the entire foundation for 6 and 7.
Right.
Like, they're like getting the story.
That's kind of depressing.
And
why is it depressing, though?
Other studios working on the multiplayer for each and every one of those games.
Yeah. And it's not depressing because those are games that people want to play.
Or you just look at the Infinity War Treyarch model of handing off Call of Duties from year to year, so everybody has at least like 2 years to work on.
Yeah, and when I met with Ubisoft to talk about Assassin's Creed, and they said specifically, like, usually a game finishes, and like, let's say you are really good, you're the animator on Assassin's Creed 3. You finish your work on Assassin's Creed 3, and they're like, okay, we're either going to put you on another project or fire you. That is, like, those are really the only objects. Your game is done.
At least
when there's
a
giant machine constantly making Assassin's Creed games, it's like, all right, you did a good job animating an assassin. Go animate a different assassin. We have a lot of assassins to animate.
There's an element of sustainability.
So, besides the fact that the industry side works, there's often the misconception that it makes for shitty derivative games. Well, and while there are some times where that happens, it's not usually the case.
A lot of the times I think the anger just comes out of fatigue. You're just tired of a franchise and for some reason it deeply upsets you that it would continue to exist when you're just not ready for another one.
Almost all the things on this list come down to gamers thinking they're the only person that plays games.
Yeah.
And that any game made without their explicit consent is just... an abomination that is attacking their personal rights.
Obviously, yearly franchises wouldn't exist if it weren't for the fact that people buy the shit out of them.
Yeah.
And, I was just going to say something. Can't remember what it was.
Abort!
You
abort!
It was actually a point, not a cool story, but...
Cool story, bro. We're glad... What is it? Cool story, bro? We're glad you're our friend or something like that?
It's just cool story, bro. You're awful at storytelling, too.
Number one on the list of the top seven things gamers hate and why they shouldn't, and the thing that I think is the most hated non-EA on this in the industry, DRM.
Hope.
Now, we're not really going to defend DRM as it is. DRM has some issues. It does punish people who buy the game regularly more than it punishes pirates. And there are recent examples, especially, of companies fucking up DRM so beautifully that they need to, like, scramble to try to repair their image. But the reason you shouldn't hate DRM isn't because DRM doesn't kind of suck, but because the gamers as a whole have kind of earned it.
Yeah. I don't know if I agree with that.
It's kind of your fault. Because
no way.
No?
No.
I mean, it's almost like people are stealing from my store, so I had to install a bunch of security cameras, and now there's somebody at the door who checks your bag, like at Best Buy.
Yeah.
I didn't steal anything.
Except the difference is the security cameras don't prevent you from shopping.
Well, this doesn't... I mean, how many cases are there... I mean, pretty much every game has some kind of DRM. How many cases are there of the game stopping you from playing?
I guess there's SimCity. The argument here is that there are so many people out there stealing games. What is it, 90%?
Ubisoft said 90%, and the common argument against that is, well, not every person that pirated is going to steal, which is the shittiest. That's like saying I'm gonna steal something from your house, but I wasn't gonna buy it in the first place, so it doesn't count.
Right. Or just like, oh, I just wanted to steal it first so that I could then know if I should go buy it.
No one has ever done that. It's funny because in the comment section, there's just people arguing about why DRM is bullshit and why game companies are wrong for doing it, and every so often somebody just exposes their piracy flag where it's just like, plus if game developers weren't making shitty games, I wouldn't pirate in the first place. And it's like,
so when we say it's your fault, it's not you the innocent gamer out there who is going to Amazon or GameStop or wherever and paying $60 or $40 or whatever the cost of the game is. It's the people all around you. It's your friends. It's your family members. Trust no one.
And let's be honest. Half the people listening to this podcast pirate most of their games.
Probably 90% of them.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. Especially the people that listen to this podcast.
Right. It's like when you have this systemic culture of people who just go out and steal games, like they have to do something. Like the reason why we have all of these things is they have to do something if they want to continue to make games at all.
Like if anything that is run on the honor system,
yeah,
that honor system, it crumbles when people don't abide by it. I mean, gaming for a while did run on an honor system, mm-hmm. and then people broke that honor. They broke the trust. And the phrase, a rotten apple spoils a bunch, is that phrase?
Or the phrase, don't Maybe. Copy that floppy.
Yes. Either of
I
those
think
phrases
illustrates the point. Yes. Fucking piracy's been around for a while.
Yeah.
It sounds mildly sexual. I don't know why.
It's not. Have you ever seen the video?
No,
it's amazing.
Don't copy that floppy.
Don't copy that floppy. Yeah, it's a rap floppy. Song. It's a rap song people showed to children in like the late 80s.
No copy,
PC
no floppy.
And it was one of those giant ass. What size were the floppy disks when they first started rolling out?
I'm trying.
I'm rolling up. Don't copy that floppy. Hold on.
See, this is two kids playing a game at the beginning. I'll narrate. There we go. So no one gets paid and they can't make more. The posse breaks up and then closes the stores. Don't copy that floppy. So let me break this down for you.
All right.
No common San Diego, no more Oregon Trail. Tetris and the others, they're all gonna fail. Not because we want it, but because you're just taking it. Disrespecting all the folks who are making it.
All right. So, what young Marky Mark here is saying is, don't steal games.
Yeah.
And if you're going to steal games, don't complain when there's DRM.
Yeah, and I know it may not be you, but it's something. And yeah, developers need to work on ways to stop making it suck.
Yeah.
But that doesn't change the fact that you really need to stop copying.
Can I take a self-righteous moment here and say I've never stolen a game? Anybody? No.
I feel like there was a time when I stole every game, and then I grew out of it, and now I never pirate anything.
Yeah. I think, that's probably the same for me.
Probably.
I mean...
Because at some point you piece together, like, I am hurting the people that are giving me enjoyment.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's just sucky.
It is. And with that, we're going to go to our first break, and when we come back, we have the news and some... Welcome back to segment two of Radio Radar, episode 38. We just finished copying so many floppies.
All of them.
All the floppies that we had in the office, a.k.a.
They're like
none.
1 kilobyte.
I just downloaded The Witcher 2 onto floppies. I need a van. Does anyone have a van I can borrow? Let's jump right into the news. First story of the week. The Eternal Darkness successor, Shadows of the Eternals, has launched a crowdfunding thing.
Not a Kickstarter.
It isn't a Kickstarter. Because they made their own thing. Yeah.
Well, as they're not based in the U.S. or U.K., I think maybe has Kickstarter abilities. But because they're not based in either of those places, they cannot legally launch a Kickstarter. Thus
is the excuse.
Just please using. Give us money, and if it fails, unlike Kickstarter, you don't get it back.
Yeah.
Is that really the case?
Yes.
Well, to be fair, are they upfront about it?
Huh?
Are they upfront about it?
I think.
Here's the difference.
For donation.
Here's the difference. When you say fails, you mean if the Kickstarter fails.
Right.
Either way, there have been cases where like people have given $1 million to a game. The Kickstarter's a success. The game never materializes. You don't get your money back. Yeah. So that happens either way. This is specific. Like, we're asking for a few million bucks. If we get $1 million, which isn't nearly enough money to make the product we promised, thanks. Really appreciate it.
We could keep the lights on a little while longer.
How
are they doing it? Is there any kind of
Let me look it up. Shadows of the Eternal?
This is the Dennis Dyack Studio blanking.
Precursor Games? Precursor Games is making this. Silicon Knights is, I think Henry described it as a company that currently exists to deal with outstanding lawsuits.
Okay.
They had to start a new company. So they have They have 28 days to reach their $1.5 million goal. I'm going to go around the table, closest without going over.
What they're currently at?
They're going for $1.5
million. $45,000?
$80,000.
$26,000.
More pessimistic than you should be? $120,000.
Okay. I win!
Still really far from where they need to be. They're 8.6% of the way. So I'm a big fan of Eternal Darkness. I have hopes. I'm not going to say high hopes.
Yeah.
That'd be a lie. But I have hopes. That said, it's not looking like they're going to hit that goal.
I don't even know what it's
But I was saying the same thing about...
Why would they even have the 28-day time limit if it's just money?
They
want to create that same feel.
A call for action?
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense to me that they would try and, like... Even if it's not Kickstarter, to get people to feel like it kind of is.
And it's going to be episodic, 12 episodes. And, it's supposed to be, not going to. And it looks essentially like a carbon copy of Eternal Darkness, except modified and modernized, which I am so okay with.
Yeah, I never played this game. I don't know anything. It sounds scary. That's why I never played it.
It's fun.
It's more like messing with you than
As you see monsters, the whole thing is you have an insanity meter. As you see monsters, which... you, the human that have lived your life, are not prepared to see, your insanity meter dips. Mm-hmm. If you kill them, you get your sanity back, but if you just run away from them, which you sometimes have to do, it dips down to the point where, like, sometimes the paintings on the wall, the eyes will follow you if you have enough insanity.
I don't want that.
And it gets worse and worse. but yeah, hopefully we'll follow that one on Radio Radar. Next news story. EA signed an exclusive deal to make core Star Wars games. Ryan, are you scared of the future?
No. I guess maybe this is where my joke would have been more, or joke, my cool story would have been more appropriate talking about this. I think the companies that, I mean, BioWare, DICE, whatever else EA has.
Visceral is the one you forgot about earlier as well.
Yeah, Visceral. No, I think they could make awesome Star Wars games, and BioWare has made awesome Star Wars games. DICE makes incredibly awesome, I just used that word 14 times.
Cool story, bro.
But they
We're
make really great shooters, and I'm going to cartwheel
you
kick your head off.
Scalp.
Wait, what did you say?
I don't remember.
Oh. No, I think they'll be
fine. Bailed out like you need to learn to do.
I think they'll be fine.
Do you think DICE is working on Battlefront?
I hope so.
I mean, there are a lot of the we did that feature where it's like a lot of the franchises make sense with a lot of EA studios.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of them we had to stretch for.
Yeah.
But other ones where it's like, why wouldn't Visceral make a Jedi Outcast or something like that?
Why wouldn't BioWare make another Knights of the Old Republic style game
yeah.
for the new Star Wars games or movies that are coming out?
I think they learned their lesson with SWTOR. They will not make that mistake again.
In terms of an MMO?
In terms of investment and the returns they get.
Well, it was. Were you the one who was telling me that the Old Republic was awesome if you approached it from the perspective of they are actually making Knights of the Old Republic 3, 4, 5, 6?
Yeah,
and Old Republic. Not even think about it in terms of a MMO?
It's seven really good Knights of the Old Republic games that if you get stuck on a level, you can bring in a co-op buddy.
Yeah.
If you treat it like that, that game is awesome.
Yeah,
Treat it like how most people wanted it to be, then it's the best ever.
I'd argue that it's not quite.
There are time sinks like needing to take flight paths and
but there are also elements that are as good.
Yeah, the story is awesome.
The story is awesome, and believe me, the smuggler campaign is at least as good as KOTOR 2. Like, we can go ahead and officially say that. So, Also, another story that Ryan talked about earlier. The PS4 and the Xbox 720 are going heavily into free-to-play, according to Mark Rain, who's Epic fame. Tom, what do you think?
I mean, that sounds like a thing that should happen.
Do you think what do you think he means by that when he says go heavy? Does he mean they're going to have the infrastructure there, or are they going to push a lot of stuff into it?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the free-to-play model will work on consoles. I think there's already a shift towards getting it on consoles. We've started to see the MOBA genre, and the MOBA genre at this point is basically free-to-play genre. Mm-hmm. What was that?
It was Guardians of Middle-earth, but it was not free.
Yeah, it wasn't free, but they kind of
but it will be eventually.
Dust 514 will be free.
Concept. Right.
And it's playable now on
PS3. So,
really?
I mean, it hasn't officially launched, but it's open beta.
I know when it launches.
It's me too.
Yeah.
When does it launch?
I forget, but they sent out the dates.
I know. Well, what's the name of the game?
Dust 514.
Comes out on 514.
Oh.
That makes way too much sense. They knew it all along.
I bet you they got to June last year, and they're like, fuck, we missed it. Let's just keep going. We can do it.
Yeah. I mean, plus this also jives with some of the things they've already said about the PS4, where it's like, hey, you can test this game out, free version for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And if you like it, buy it. And if you don't like it, you just got 30 minutes of free.
Wow, the free-to-play push mixed with the streaming, where it's just like, huh, Dust 515 looks cool. Mm-hmm. Click. Oh, I'm playing it. I'm playing it forever. Mm-hmm. I never had to download it or do anything. I'm just playing it like I would watch a YouTube video.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just one more way in which they're removing hurdles from people buying and spending money playing games. And
which, like it or not, has to be the future of gaming.
Good for Goose, good for Gander.
Yep.
I never heard that expression.
Me
either. Good for the Goose, good for the Gander.
I don't like either of those words.
If it's good for one party, it's good for the other party.
No, I get what it means.
Good for the Goose. There's also a Gander involved.
Why do you gotta look so angry about it, Ryan?
I don't like the words Goose or Gander.
What's wrong with Goose?
What about
Gander
the word?
I'm a Goose. I'm a Goose.
Oh, God.
Stop it.
Henry's not here. You don't have to fill the void by coughing.
I mean, I know you're sitting in his chair, but come on.
Why
now.
Am I
come
doing on. This?
Other big news story. World of Warcraft, in the past 3 months alone, has lost 1.3 million subscribers total just in 3 months. Lucas, is this the end of World of Warcraft?
I feel like these numbers do not really mean anything to me. Because, of course, they're going to lose subscribers at this point because there's nothing new keeping people.
It's a lot of subscribers, though.
It's an 8-year-old game, and it always goes through these cycles.
They're still making money hand over fist.
Every expansion.
Do we know how many subscribers it currently has?
I believe it's still hovering around
It's in double digits still, right?
No, not double digits. I think they announced that it fell
8.3.
Yeah.
8.3 is significantly off of 12. So what happened, basically? There are a couple things that are killing this game. One, League of Legends.
This game's not being killed. It's just aging.
I feel like
aging.
Blizzard must look at Riot and be like, we used to be them. How do we get it back?
Yes. And then they're like, Blizzard Dota. Oh, no.
Blizzard Dota sucks a bunch.
I want to buy that game,
I think,
but won't.
What we're seeing is just
it.
The end of the subscription model.
Well,
this is actually the end.
The people who are still playing are probably spending more money on, in-game $20 pets or whatever.
It's possible.
They're probably not losing that much.
The other thing also is it's not so much that they're just constantly losing. It's more like they're not bringing in new players. Because the way that they were able to sustain so long at 12 million wasn't that nobody was leaving. It was just that they were able to bring in as many people as were leaving.
By this point, literally every person on the planet's played this game.
Yeah.
Correct.
Everybody's giving it a go.
Yeah.
And even kids
that
don't have computers.
And Molly. They've all played it.
You know those one laptop per child?
Yeah, yeah.
Comes with the game pre-installed.
Those kids already hacked their laptops to the point where they can download and play.
I mean, this game's going to be around for years still, because look at EverQuest. Yep. That game has still got at least
80,000,
100,000 expansions.
They probably only need at this point like 50,000 people playing World of Warcraft.
That's what one of my first interviews with the developers of CCP, who makes EVE Online, and at that time they had like 100,000 people after like 5 years, and they're like, yeah, our game's profitable. Why would, like, of course we'd like a million, like 5 million people, but we're making money and all of our players love us. Exactly. So isn't that as good as anything?
Right. Everything at this point is just so gravy that, you know.
Well, CCP even said that they have every single year added more players to their game. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that is the complete opposite of almost every other game in existence.
True.
Yeah.
And they'll probably add even more with Dust514.
Probably.
So that is, I mean, realistically though, that's a 14% drop for WoW.
It's a quick time period for it to happen in. I don't think Blizzard is sweating bullets just yet.
That's just all the people that played Pandaria that have like finished that content?
Well, a lot of people that I've talked to about Pandaria, I mean, I've only played a bit of it myself, but everyone seems to agree that this is the best expansion that's come out.
I still know, I have a lot of friends that play WoW that like a new expansion comes out, their goal when it comes out is to hit the new level cap. And then they're like, all right,
I'll see
you in another year and a half.
Yeah. I mean, all of us said we probably are going to start seeing layoffs at Blizzard because they no longer have the huge war chest that they had and can't justify having all those people on there. But I don't think it's a sign that the company is going to be unhealthy or is not making as many games. Or, I mean, they hardly ever make games anyway. But I just kind of see them returning to the stratosphere.
Yeah, and then when Titan comes out in 2 or 3 years, then they'll get 50 million subscribers.
And is completely destroyed by League of Legends. League of Legends is the new WoW.
Yeah, like, I mean, it is.
You now need the League of Legends killer. The LoL killer.
Yes.
Instead of the WoW killer.
Which Dota thinks it is. So, and also, just if you want to do math, which I just did because I have a calculator, that is, and we're talking about layoffs, that is, this month, Blizzard will make 15 million dollars less than they made last month.
Yeah.
That alone is
like a bazillion.
That said, when they were having like 12 million subscribers, I think they were bringing in about $100 million a month.
Which didn't they say like half of that goes to servers?
I mean,
like just like server.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's a really cool infographic floating around out there if you can find it, and it's like
no, $100 million in profit, revenue in profit. Like, we have $100 million today that we didn't have, and we can do literally whatever we want with it.
And you know what they did? Not hire writers.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they did, is not hire writers. Yeah. So, every day that goes by, they not hire more writers.
I want to say that the cost to maintain the servers, the WoW servers, is something like $100,000 a day. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, you could buy this brand new fancy sports car every day.
That was good. Yeah, that was like the best infographic.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Up to that point.
But
anyways.
Long story short, WoW is fine. In that it's still making good god amounts of money,
yeah. Gobs. If what, you will.
1,000 or 136,986 in upkeep every day because
1,025,000.
They need 1.3 petabytes of storage and 75,000 CPU cores.
Hi,
they're busy boys.
What does that room look like? It's got to be hot.
It's got better servers than the government.
I'm pretty sure Google has just built underneath all of Oklahoma with their servers. Like all of Oklahoma, there is now.
It's like a Harry Potter style.
It is entirely filled with mole men.
Yeah,
that are eventually going to rise up and take back what is theirs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They just like start bashing random CPU cores, and
it wouldn't matter because it's so large. You can lose like a million of them, and you're fine.
No one would care.
It could be absorbed.
Yes, absorbed back into the hive.
Right.
Also, there's a new Wolfenstein, which looks kind of interesting.
I liked the most recent Wolfenstein because it didn't try to be like, we're going to move the FPS genre forward. It was just like, hey, shoot Nazis and crazy zombie
mutants. The new one looks futuristic. You can find out more about it on GamesRadar. But let's roll on to previews. Ryan, you saw Company of Heroes 2. You saw mode that kicked the fuck out of you.
Yeah, that's really goddamn hard. It's a Theater of War mode, which is really cool. It adds, there's three different modes in it. There's like co-op skirmishes against AI that you have to follow specific rule sets. They were explaining... it's mainly to prepare you for competitive online play because you'll be facing AI that like tank blitzes you or use tactics that you're really only going to find against playing against human opponents. But the mode I played was God, I remember. It was on a map called Blitzkrieg, and I was playing on the Russian side.
Ooh. And, they didn't get the better end of the Blitzkrieg.
Wait, just kidding. I was playing the Germans, I think. Okay. I was playing one of the sides. Psych. I don't know. And
one of the enemies.
But yeah, it just gives you some really intense challenge missions. And I had like two infantry squads and a couple tanks, and I had to take over 10 resource points. I did not do it. It's very fucking hard. But they just wanted to introduce this new mode that has a ton of maps and modes inside of it, just to give you a bunch of extra stuff to do that's really fun outside of the campaign.
Sweet. So. Awesome. Yeah. You can find out more about that on the site. And also, we don't have much time left, but Magic the Gathering Duel of the Planeswalkers 2014 is canceled. So Tom, you two saw it?
We saw the new Duels of the Planeswalkers 2014.
How does it look interface-wise? Exactly the same or better?
Please not. So
much better.
Oh, much better. God. And we're playing it on an iPad.
Yeah.
And it worked coming to iPad.
It worked
Android.
Real well.
The last one was on iPad.
So here's the big
Tablature.
Thing. Sealed.
Now let's explain what this is for the non-magic oriented, because
you can build your own deck in Duels of the Planeswalkers.
You get 6 packs, random cards.
Yep.
You make a deck out of it.
And you make a deck.
Can you buy new packs?
So the way it works is you buy new slots.
Oh, no.
For $2, you buy a new slot. You can't buy individual packs like you would in Magic Online.
You can unlock 3 additional ones by playing the campaign.
Right. You can unlock 3 additional ones, and you can buy basically infinity more, where they're just giving you 6 new packs that are filled with cards from this 180 card set. I think you said it was 180 card set?
Around there, yeah.
Yeah.
And this is basically the closest that Duels of the Planeswalkers has ever been to, like, real Magic Online.
Yeah.
In terms of value and creativity with your decks. And you can finally change land totals. Yes!
Yep.
That's, like,
there's a lot more freedom. A lot more practicing with building decks. It'll build a deck for you out of the cards, which
is
cool.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Like, it actually, they were saying it detects good combos and synergy between cards, mm-hmm. which that's pretty impressive.
Pretty impressive. And
new cards from the new set.
Which you saw. Do you want to? Can you do it? I feel like you
I
can.
I mean, there was no embargo.
There was no embargo. Magic the Gathering spoilers from the 2014 set. Here you go. Slivers are back, baby!
That was on their site like 3 days ago.
Shit!
God dang
it. What
else
did we see? You saw some other cards.
So one of
also, slivers are motherfuckers. I hate...
I build a sliver deck.
I'm saying it right now on the podcast. If I ever play a game of Magic with you, against you, and you play a single sliver card, I'm scooping and not talking to you for the rest of the night.
Don't ever talk to him again.
I won't.
Fair. It's fair. It's fair.
Slivers are broken.
I mean, you could counter by going your slivers because all.
Yeah, that's fun. Everyone should build a deck to counter Tom's dick deck.
Yeah.
Tom's dick deck. Everyone needs to counter Tom's.
I outlawed that word from the office.
Yeah,
all right?
Oh my god, I have like.
Anyway, hit. What?
Okay, so one of the cards I saw was, I think it was like
you've never
green,
been this
red. Three, maybe? I don't know. You destroy a target artifact, you get X number of 1/1s equal to its casting cost.
Boom.
I don't think I've ever seen that before.
That's pretty rough.
And if I didn't, it had new art.
So rough.
Basically, it looks really sweet.
Yeah.
And I want to play it. Tom wants to play it.
I saw a sliver that was a 1/1 with first strike and gives all other slivers first strike for one. And I'm like, you can go fuck yourself. Raw. I'm done with you.
That was a good sliver.
You just had to add the word raw.
Yes. Do you know how annoying slivers are?
No.
Yeah.
When you're playing them.
I mean, basically take any kind of like a human's deck or a zombie's deck. And it's just that to the
every
end.
Every single sliver has an ability that affects every single sliver.
Yep.
That sounds not fun at all.
It is not,
because if you can't get rid of them one by one, you're dead.
Yeah,
there's no sliver that doesn't buff other slivers, I don't think.
Oh, and one cool thing they had was you're actually going to different planes. So instead of just facing themed enemies, mm-hmm. you'll now face decks that are themed around a setting like Innistrad.
Yeah.
So it's like,
and they said they were going to be ramping up story this time around, which
oh boy,
I
can't wait to get into that lore.
I mean, it's cool. It's there
I've never
for the
actually
people that want it.
Yeah gotten into
like
magic
I like the story
lore.
Of Jace and Chandra, and I haven't. Gotten,
I don't know it at all.
There are like opposite and Tom. What do you, can I
tug of war, bitch?
So there are like planeswalkers who kind of complement each other, like Jace and Chandra are constantly. Playing off one another, and Garrick and Liliana are trying to kill each other all the time. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't really get that from just playing Magic at a card shop.
Right.
And Duels gives you a little context.
And
to
also,
these,
I'm really upset that I don't have a snoring sound effect.
Speaking of card shops, apparently September 7th
remind me.
Is a Magic the Gather
17th?
Seven.
I think
it's seven.
I propose we roll out to that little shop in Pacifica and just steamroll everybody there.
Yeah!
Hey, man, they got some killers there.
I've seen them, too. I could tell they were killers.
Yeah. If by killers you mean have probably killed prostitutes. Yeah. They probably have three teenage girls in their basement right now that we should be liberating.
By killers, what I meant was they probably kill 17 pizzas apiece.
Yes.
That was mean.
That's so uncalled for.
I like how I say that they're murderers, say that they're fat, and everyone's like, turns on you immediately. I say they're rapists, and you say they're overweight, and you're the bad guy. I love this room. There's no rules in this room. These padded walls are symbolic and useful.
Wow. Anyway, I'm looking forward to this game. It's coming out in July, or they said it would be out
There's no definitive release date right now, but it will be out before Magic 2014, which is in the summer, sometime in July. So you can kind of gauge that it'll be out soon.
But anyway, before I was rudely interrupted, September 7th is like this Magic the Gathering festival.
Worldwide.
The other cool thing about Planeswalkers is within it, there's a button that says store.
You can click on that.
And they'll be like, oh, you can fucking go buy Magic cards at this store. It's right here. Like super close, and you could go right now.
So they added a store location.
Dude, do you know how many times we've been like, all right, we're playing, we're drafting this week. Where did you go buy cards? No, I didn't go buy cards. Where's the closest fucking place to buy
Magic
cards?
I'm sure there's a store locator on their website.
I mean, it's possible, but I'm not going to... I've never actually seen your stomach before, and it is much hairier than I was expecting.
It's a man's stomach.
For some reason, Ryan decided to lift his shirt and start rubbing his stomach while glaring at us. I think that's a sign that this segment has come to a close. I have a feeling there's going to be much more on Magic the Gathering Duel of the Planeswalkers 2014 on the website.
If you like Magic, we do Radar Scoops every other Monday. We just did one on Monday, so
and now we can, when Duels comes out, we can actually stream live Magic.
Yeah!
I'm excited. Crushing each other.
Maybe that's.
This is not top seven awesome lazies.
All right, but we should be done with this.
Yeah, so we'll be right back with the third segment. Hello and welcome back to the third segment of Radio Radar. We've had a leave of absence of two of the guests. Tom and Ryan both left, but that's fine because we've been joined by much better people.
We got upgrades.
A cast change,
as it were.
We have Mr. Greg.
I'm here, community manager, Greg Henniger.
And
the newly married Greg.
Oh, yeah.
Mr.
That's right.
My, Mr. Greg.
With a fancy ring. It's made of silver.
Yeah. Tungsten.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This is tungsten.
It's cheap
and virtually... I need tungsten to live.
Virtually indestructible.
Tungsten.
I bought two of them just in case I lost it.
That's true.
Henry would appreciate it.
What is that
It's
from?
A Simpsons reference.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Also Lorenzo.
Yeah, Lorenzo, I'm here.
It's a short third segment. We only have one review, and that is of Mario and Donkey Kong Minis on the Move.
On the Move. So I reviewed this. Got 2.5 out of 5. Going to say that straight up, but... It's not a horrible game by any means. Basically, this is a Mario-ified version of Pipe Mania or Pipe Dream.
Pipe Mania!
Yes. Which is an ancient PC game. There's a good chance you played it when you were a kid.
Yeah. Did you play Bioshock and hack things? That's what
Same
it is.
Same deal.
Exactly what it is. Mm.
So it's kind of a stressful sort of puzzling. I'm not particularly a fan of a puzzle game that forces you to make moves you didn't want to make just to deal with a timer. But there is a mode that's really awesome called Puzzle Palace, which gives you a set of blocks. Normally they're randomly generated, and you have to figure out the correct course. That's what
it's like
I'm
a real
about.
Puzzle.
Yeah.
I mean, one's like it's like a puzzle action game. This is like you hear the pieces.
Yeah.
Put them together
at your leisure.
It's almost like in Magic the Gathering, there is the mode where it's like you're.
I love that mode.
Where it's like, here's the setup, here's the situation, dig yourself out of this bullshit.
Figure it out.
Don't hurry yourself. You have all the time in the world to think about
it.
So
you like a puzzle game that's legit like a puzzle on a table, you and your granny putting a puzzle together.
Yeah, something like that. And
nice
there
cookies.
Are a couple modes, a couple mini games. There's no story, unlike any of the Mario versus Donkey Kong games. And if you're expecting that this game may throw you for a loop because it is nothing like those.
That said, I think all of those were retail releases, and this one is...
Yeah, this one is a $10 download.
Yeah, this is almost like the spin-off minigame version.
So if you want to check it out, the investment is not huge. I think it's just okay. It's not great. It's not horrible. But, yeah.
Yeah, so that's Mario and Donkey Kong Minis on the Move, and that is the only review this week because nothing
it's a
else.
Slow week.
We also put up a review for Star Drive, which I was excited for and just disheartened.
The pictures look. I feel like looking at the images is better than playing.
So I played it a little bit.
It
and
has owl technicians.
Yes, owl technicians.
Yeah, I love that.
Samurai
and
bears.
And like bears and armor. Yeah.
So it's essentially Civ meets FTL.
Uh-huh. You've immediately perked my interest.
Right? But apparently it's just not that great. I still might give it a go. I still might give it a go because Civ... Well, it's Civ meets FTL with samurai bears and owl technicians.
I'm back in.
And you can read the review on GamesRadar.com. I don't want you... No, damn it!
You lost me!
God damn it! All right, community segment.
All right, yes, it's good to be back. Back into the community segment. I missed last week.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
Tongue
set. Taking a bow.
Tongue set.
How was the wedding?
The wedding was nice. It was good. 120 odd people showed up.
Holy hell.
Hello.
It was all in.
That is literally double the size of my wedding. We recently added people, and we're still at like 60.
It's not bad, though. A smaller wedding, you get to talk to everybody.
It's mainly because we don't love many people.
I feel like I didn't get the opportunity to speak to everyone that showed up. And
dolled out
cash.
Our goal is to speak to as few people as possible. So,
well, now you're
maybe
gonna...
we needed to have like a 400 person wedding, and then just make everyone think we talked to everyone else. And just didn't have time for them.
Well, they probably don't want to talk to you anyways. They just want the free food.
They want free food and to give you a check for
and the booze,
whatever.
Oh yeah, open bar.
Open bar.
We're not doing that at mine.
Oh,
I don't want families fighting.
Ow!
We're doing everyone gets as much wine as you can drink.
The family fights are the best part.
And I think
the
there
wedding.
Might be beer.
Wine hangovers are terrifying.
I don't give a shit about them the next day. I just don't want anybody taking their pants off at the wedding.
Well, I mean, that was the fifth song.
I was at one of my friend's wedding. I think my friend Kevin that listens to the show. I was his best man, and I was hanging out with him carrying something to a car, and he got a text from somebody in the wedding. And the text was, "I was so drunk, my pamps fell off." And we're just like, man, I kind of wish I was there to see his pamps fall off.
I went to a dry wedding one time, and a bunch of the groomsmen snuck in like a bottle of tequila, and we kept it in the car.
Rascals.
And I know, we ended up being very rascally, because we kept going back to the car to fill up like our Sierra Mist with tequila. And we're all of age, you know.
Yeah.
And then the bride's sister came up to me like halfway through the wedding and was like, "You need to stop doing what you're doing. I know what you're doing."
See, I was hoping that story was going to go in a total different direction. That was just like,
and we started making out.
"Hey, Greg, I heard you got some alcohol. Me and my four friends need some."
No, it wasn't that sexy. We just ended up
got yelled at.
Well, yeah, then we started playing tricks with the security guard because he caught on that we were going back and forth to the car. And so we'd like walk over to the car and walk past it and around a circle, and we'd watch him like a big
like
derp,
a hitman game.
Derp, derp, derp. He's like looking through the cars. Where are those darned kids?
Yeah.
And we ended up getting wasted on tequila.
Nice. Yeah, my wedding, people are still going to get wasted, but it's going to take a little longer.
Wasted on love.
Yes.
Anyways, community segment.
Woo!
Okay, so last week's... Thank you. That's all of the community right now saying thank you for stopping the conversation about weddings. All right, last week's question of the week was...
Be happy for us! We're happy for you!
Come up with a indie game...
A hipster indie game akin to Don't Starve or Thomas Was Alone.
Okay. So, a lot of these... There are a lot of good ones.
Good.
A lot of good ones. And they're long... Which
you're gonna give us the TL?
Give us the abridged version.
I'm gonna try and give the abridged version. So let's see. First off, Sunny D. I don't know if you guys mentioned him at one point, but he wanted to start off by saying he was a male and not a female.
Really?
And called everyone idiots.
Sunny
Damn it.
D's more or less.
I mean, let's be fair. We wouldn't have talked about you if we thought you were a guy.
True. Sunny D.
Can we still call you a girl? Is that like gonna? I mean, I'm gonna forget.
Well, listen to it. Listen to his pitch first.
Okay.
Because I think he's filled with angst.
Oh.
So he says, my indie game would be called Angst.
Ooh.
Angst is about a teenager named Damien who lives his life dealing with parents who suck, friends who suck, and life that just sucks. It's a life simulation where he goes to school and deals with his sucky issues.
So it's like The Sims, except it sucks.
It just...
That sounds depressing.
It sucks across the board.
Listen, Sonny D, or Damien, we're really sorry.
You need to live your live any way you want to.
Yeah. AKA...
Any way you want.
Live your life.
That's one angsty baby.
Right?
All right, let's see. Winner 2. I liked this one. It was called You and I. A few hundred years from now, an obsolete piece of technology is dumped onto an uninhabited planet solely for dumping old tech called Obsum. I would assume that's
that sounds good.
Sounds awesome. You play as a old U key from a keyboard made back in the 2000s with a very bad coffee stain on it. You're looking for the I key somewhere on Obsum, which was next to you on the keyboard but was lost when the board was dumped.
For the record, I just looked at the keyboard and I'm like, holy hell, he's right.
You and I. And the only way you'll know her is because of the matching coffee stain. It's been 200 years since you saw each other, but you will never give up. Can you guide him past the puzzles and obstacles of Obsum? Obsum? Can't get over that. to his other half? Bum, bum, ba. You and I.
That's an
that
awesome
sounds
idea.
Like a better yeah. story than many, many games.
Angst.
why are we making fun of Sunny D?
I know. I love
Don't make
Sunny
fun of Sunny D. We'd have, she's our favorite, one of our favorite listeners.
Let's see. EA 73, my game would be Darkness. This game would feature a soundtrack composing of all emo bands that you can think of, and all you do is walk around in the night listening to emo songs.
That's kind of sad.
I wouldn't buy that.
Nope. No.
And also, they made a game called The Darkness.
Yeah.
Heads up.
What about if it was like kind of like an audio surf version, and you had to pace your slow, angsty walk through the darkness? With emo songs.
I have one of the songs from that game.
From Darkness?
Yeah. Well, from that game he's talking about.
That's why I'm here and what I'm fighting
for.
Don't
no
copy. Don't copy that copy. Now let me introduce you.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
A little more I about love it. What I mean.
And EA C73, I'm sure, is thinking of that song.
Yes,
when he came
naturally.
Out.
there's an interview with Craig Dykstra in this video. Sorry.
Who?
Go on.
Him. Look up the Don't Copy That Floppy official video, and you'll see Craig Dykstra and all of his 80s haircut glory.
Okay.
It's a reference to earlier in the show,
we'll
promise.
We'll do this.
Yeah. There was an See, I don't even believe that there was an earlier in the show. This is
we just
my
come in here.
This is my entire reality.
We come in here and have tickle fights and then call you in after
and
a
you're
while.
You're like, Craig, we're done. Is that why it smells so in here?
It okay. does. I mean, sure.
Shostaka...
Shocksta, man. Shocksta. Get it right.
Shocksta.
It looks like swastika when I look at it.
All right, Greg Henniger. Yeah. You two should hang out.
Shostka. How are you pronouncing it? Shocksta.
Like a shockster.
Show me that right now.
Shocksta. You've got a copy.
No, he doesn't. I took all that part
okay.
out.
Well, now you're holding it, and I can't read anything, so I'm just
yep,
going to vamp.
That is definitely shocksta.
Shocksta.
You got to get it right.
Swastika. he says, the abyss... You and your alien boy or girl of your choice, who is with you, brother or sister, being the opposite gender, you go through the abyss recruiting people to join you to try and escape into the ball of freedom. It's your choice. Later on, you have to gather enough people and resources to finally escape the abyss into a never-ending vortex with the ball of freedom, only to be able to contain one person. So that leads to a bloody battle between you and all of your siblings as you fight to the death. In the ending, surprise, you're a bunch of sperm cells fighting to take the egg and become a baby. The ending would depend on your choices, ranging from being vicious to losing your siblings while you wallow in the body of your mother. For the best ending, you were born as twins.
Oh.
Right?
Oh, born as twins?
I thought
pretty
that
good.
Was
right. I can't make two voices at once or else I would.
Let's see. We got a Twitter entry, Seeking Paradigm. I think that could be a game title in and of itself. He says a douchebag hipster game name, Millennial.
Okay.
I think that's got some life.
I feel
on
like
it.
It's probably a real game, now that I think.
I want his Seeking Paradigm to be the name.
Yeah, that's
game.
A better name. Can we just pretend that's the name? Millennial, we really liked your submission. Seeking Paradigm does sound like a cool game.
It sounds like a song title that would go well with the Darkness game.
Yes.
As you walk through the darkness. And the winner! The winner Woo! This week is Spade Slick. My indie game is a text-only adventure called Imagination. It's all about empowering the user and giving them the unlimited creative freedom to tell the story their way. When loaded, Imagination takes the user to a blank Microsoft Word document where the player can begin crafting all the adventures of their dreams. It's like Minecraft, except I don't have to do any work, which makes it better than Minecraft.
Nice. Beautiful.
That is
you
amazing.
You are the winner. Congratulations. That gave me a good, solid chuckle.
Yes.
So go
and
ahead.
A good, solid chubby.
And a chortle.
Ew.
All the C words that aren't God. The worst C word.
Tharsis.
Cancer.
Oh, all right.
So go ahead and contact me, GregH@GamesRadar.com, and I will send you some cool stuff. We've got some
T-shirts.
We do have a lot of T-shirts. A lot of cool video game T-shirts. And
yeah.
If you're interested in those, I've got a giant box of
them. We also have some codes for PID.
PID.
And some other stuff.
I have some garbage on my desk that I don't want anymore.
Yeah, I have some garbage in my trash can. There's a half-empty container of blue cheese. But if you do not get back to me by the time the podcast is over, they're probably going to have taken it out of my trash can.
The container of blue cheese?
Yeah.
That only gets better with time, though, you know.
It does.
You should put it up on the shelf.
Yeah, I should go grab it. Yeah.
For what?
Old deer.
Let's see, what else?
Question of the week this week?
Yes, new week question of the week.
I'm noticing a blank space.
It is blank because I was not here when you guys were talking about a lot of other stuff. I have one, but tell me if it's not
good
enough.
Go for it. Let's do this.
What is your ring made out of?
The answer is
tungsten.
My tungsten ring. You could win this tungsten ring by answering the question of the week.
Really?
Yeah, and then we were technically married, though.
Oh, okay.
That's the...
Girl Draco is going to win immediately.
Oh. So let's see. I was very interested by the EA.
I'm sure you were.
Acquisition of Star Wars. So what Star Wars game do you want developed by what developer?
Sure, why not?
I like that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go ahead and go first.
Oh, go for it.
And say Visceral needs to retake the Jedi Knight series. I think they would do pretty damn well with that. next.
I will go with the weirdest suggestion I wrote for the article we wrote about this, which is I want Criterion, the developer of Burnout and Need for Speed games, to do a new Rogue Squadron game. And I know that sounds weird, but I feel like they've already done games about... They know how to do vehicle physics. They said that they experimented with helicopters and jets in Burnout Paradise. They just never put them in there. They do have helicopters in some of their games. They just aren't pilotable. So they do know how to do all of that stuff. And I feel like the actual, being able to shoot a vehicle, like an X-Wing, and seeing it, get ripped apart, they could do some really cool stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That.
The collision stuff.
Oh, yeah. And especially imagine the levels that they'd inevitably do where you're, riding swoop bikes and stuff.
Or going through Beggar's Canyon.
Oh, yeah. Bullseyeing Womp Rats, as it were.
Lucas? Jeremy Sullivan?
I don't know which studio would be best suited for this, but I want to see another Star Wars kart racer. I can't remember the name.
Criterion.
Criterion would probably be the one to go with.
What is it called?
Super Bombad Racing?
Yeah,
that game was shit.
Kidding me?
That was garbage.
I just want to see where can they take that franchise?
They can't.
What if they surpass Mario?
You got to go at least with the podcasting arcade.
Podcasting?
Not pod racing.
Yeah.
Radio Radar Racer.
So Criterion could do a pod racing
game. Sega was the one that made the best pod racing game ever where you actually had the two levers.
I hold a high score on that arcade game in Valencia, California.
CA.
About 10 years ago.
Congratulations, Lorenzo.
And you still got it.
Remember that Clone Wars game? The Clone Wars Twisted Metal clone sucked.
Oh, yeah. And you were you could be that tank.
Is that the one with the tank?
Yeah. You could be that tank or that
That's
tank.
That's literally
or
the
that
only thing I remember
you could be
from
a
that
tank,
game.
Not the ships.
It actually
ever.
Wasn't. It wasn't that bad. I remember liking it, but it wasn't good.
It was. I remember an arena area where you'd get up high and shoot down. What system was that for?
GameCube.
GameCube. Never
owned
one.
Was it a cube game?
If I played it in that generation, it was a cube game.
I want to hear Lorenzo's.
I'm going to say the Battlefront. I want to play a new Battlefront. I never really liked the original ones, but I think that DICE taking over Battlefront and giving it the Battlefield
so
feel.
Much awesome potential, I think.
Battlefront, Battlefront's always had this problem where it was never given to a developer that could actually make it. Battlefront, especially Battlefront 1 and 2, both had these problems with the worst AI ever. I remember there was the thing where I'd run. What is it? A swoop bike? What's the name of the bikes on Endor?
What, the yeah, speeder bikes?
Speeder bikes. I'd be running towards a speeder bike, and like an AI-controlled person would like run in front of me and be like, screw you, and jump on it.
Ooh.
Boom! Right into the nearest tree. Like, immediately into the nearest tree. Or like, the illusion of playing with Star Wars characters is shattered when Darth Vader is stuck in a corner swinging his lightsaber wildly. It's like, Lord Vader, what has happened to you?
So I'm saying they're never very good. So
and it could look nice to, you know, gorgeous.
Oh, and like they announced that Frontal Assault game a long time ago. And that kind of got me excited because it looked like a new Battlefront.
It sure did.
So I want to see that.
Frostbite 3?
Real bad.
Yeah. Would you want an original trilogy Star Wars? Or like all-encompassing saga?
All-encompassing except for the prequels? Let's say that.
Here's the question. So think of it this way. Game development usually has 2 to 3 years. DICE is busy. They're finishing Battlefield 4. They're going to finish it this year, do some DLC. New Star Wars movies, 2015?
Yes.
That's a little over 2 years from now, or about 2 years from now?
Uh-huh. It can work.
They could finish this game, wait, have it launch alongside the new movies set in the new universe.
I've never been so excited in my life! Yes, I love that.
That's the best thing. All of those companies, like Visceral right now, they finished. Like, the rumors were they're not exactly sure what they're working on next. All of their big AAA companies are finishing up stuff this year,
Jedi Knight
which
3.
Gives them
come on,
2 years, 2.5 years to launch alongside the new movie with a AAA developer doing a AAA Star Wars game.
Okay, now, how about this? What new Star Wars game would you like to see that's not a sequel to an original Star Wars game that already exists? What kind of Star Wars game do you want?
I mean, 1313. Does that count? I want a Boba Fett game.
A Boba Fett game? Okay.
I don't even give a fuck about Boba Fett, but I want that game. Mm-hmm. He gets killed by a blind guy. I don't give a shit. But I still want a game with him.
It's hard to think of a new game. Maybe that should be the question.
I want I'm sure this exists already, but like, I want to see the Clone Wars in a game.
I think it exists
on DS, but like, I want to have something that shows me all the story of the TV show without me...
In what kind of way? Like a third person, first person?
I mean, there's an MMO.
What?
There's a Clone Wars MMO.
Really crappy
for
babies one?
Yeah.
they actually have an interesting tower defense mode, but...
Yeah,
that's about it for that little Clone Wars.
Played that at E3 2 years ago.
SOE. Forget the Clone Wars. SOE makes it.
Oh, yeah. I remember Josh reviewing that.
Yeah, he actually liked that one.
Oh, wow. Shocker. The guy who works at Sony liked the Sony Online Entertainment
game.
This
was a little while ago.
I know. That's how he got in there.
He said, I love your Clone Wars game. Please hire me. Derp, derp, derp.
Direct quote.
So, first person, how would you want it? Store
what?
Like
I thought
point and click adventure?
Huh?
The Clone Wars?
It's getting late. I'm going to wrap this up.
No! I just got in
he
here.
He just wants to talk about Star Wars
That's
all night.
All.
Fine. Keep talking about Star Wars.
Greg,
did you ever
podcast.
Play, did you ever,
from
did
first
you ever
to
play
seventh.
The Phantom Menace on PC?
Yes.
Yeah.
That game was awesome.
It was cool.
That game was huge. It has so much going on in there.
Is that the one with where you're Obi-Wan and it's like isometric view?
And it's like top down and he's just like in the middle of the screen?
Yeah. And when you're on Tatooine and you're Anakin, you're like running around trying to collect parts.
Yeah, and you bump
into that guy and he's like, oh, stop bumping into me.
I ran into
that guy every like 20 feet.
I have a funny story about that game. That was like one of the first PC games I ever bought and I didn't know jack shit about like PCs. So I was like, yeah, I have a PC. I could run this shit. So like I don't even know what it was, like a
crank powered one.
Yeah, and
I
stuck it in there and it didn't work. And I'm like, what the F? And that's how I learned how to build a PC.
Also,
I had to
record
my system.
6.2 on IGN and a 4.3 on GameSpot.
It was a great
game.
I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah.
As a kid playing that, like...
When you're a kid, every game is great.
The Darth
you
Maul
could do
battle
crazy
at
stuff
the end,
in this game. Like, you could kill Anakin if you felt like it and, see what happens.
Who didn't feel like it, though?
And characters that, like, you weren't supposed to interact with, you could just mess with them and the game would actually react.
Yeah, you didn't even have to use your lightsaber the whole time. You could pick up, you know, blasters and, you know,
being
uncivilized as it is.
Super uncivilized.
Whatever.
That came out, like, right after The Phantom Menace, right?
Yeah.
99.
It's kind of like the first post-Phantom Menace game. And it was awesome.
I'm surprised you guys played that game. I thought I was the only person.
No way, dude.
In
so, Clone Wars game styled like that, I'd be all over that.
Okay. Nice.
Got like a 3 on this other site.
Shut up!
Oh no, it sounds great. You can mess with people. That's great.
You never played it?
No.
Okay, then
busy playing.
Then you can't talk about it.
Busy playing games that ranked higher than a 4 on GameSpot. At the time.
When you were 6, you were like, "Dur, this didn't rank higher than a 4. I'm not going to play this."
In 1999, yeah. I was 6.
You were?
No.
Congratulations.
I was playing Rainbow Six, whatever that winter one was.
I played whatever my parents said. Here, Greg, I bought this for you. And I said, thank the Lord, this is the greatest game of all time.
And then you played over and over and over again.
I found all the
secrets.
How
young were you when
you
looked at Metacritic for the first time?
I don't, like,
you're the founder of Metacritic.
3 years ago,
and
4 years
said,
ago.
You said, I won't play this game.
No, I played plenty of bad games when I was a kid. I just knew they were bad.
Hurtful words.
Later.
Close it out.
You admit they're bad.
All right, now it's time to close it out because you've hurt my feelings.
I feel like I end all of these shows hurting your feelings. Listen, I'm sure the game, for its time, was very good, even if today it may not hold up, especially because it sucked and you're
an
idiot.
Oh, it holds up.
let's leave the podcast and go play it.
Go play this thing.
Absolutely.
You ever play that Simpsons comic, like Simpsons video making thing?
No.
I wanted to get that through my Scholastic
books. That's where I got it.
Get it through your Scholastic books.
Was there a Scholastic?
Yeah, your thick skull.
Yeah, but I got Warcraft 2 instead, and I was much happier.
Oh,
good call.
Yeah.
So the question of the week is: what Star Wars game do you want? What Star Wars game do you want EA to make? It can be a new game, or it can be a sequel or a new game. Doesn't matter.
Bonus points for a new game.
Impress us.
Yeah.
The more impressed we are, the more likely you are to win a prize.
Impressive.
Yes.
Most impressive.
And the Great Fan Art Challenge.
Oh, yeah, it's out there.
We're going to post them on. You can check. We're not going to post them on the site. We're going to post them on Twitter, GR Radio Radar.
They are salacious.
I want more of the, like, Kratos versus Pitts.
Well, I'm saying we have a second one.
Something
I brought up earlier. Starting this week. This week's one is going to. Let's say they run for 2 weeks. How's that, Sam? We'll give
them
a.
Do we announce who the winner is?
No, who is it?
It is Cody Stovall, the winner of the Great American Fan Art Challenge.
Yes,
with
episode
his
one.
Incredible pencil-drawn Ryan Talgenic.
Now, that one, that was a good Great American Fan Art Challenge, but I feel like that one relies too much on artistic skill and not Photoshop skill. So this one's going to be more Photoshop skill. So
earlier,
when we were talking about pod racing, it sounded like you said, that sounded like Lorenzo said that podcast game, like a podcast racing game.
Oh, yeah.
So make the box art for Radio Radar, the kart racer.
That's going to be awesome.
I like that. That's
fan
good.
Art it up. Do original art. Whatever you want. And
make
in 2 weeks.
Make it Star Wars theme for me.
Yeah, yeah. Star Wars theme may earn you bonus points, especially if it's Super Bomb Bad Racing, because apparently there are people in this room who don't think that's the largest pile of shit.
I never played it.
Queen Amidala's head was like
look at the box art. And
I remember seeing the box art and the fact that Jar Jar was
his
on the
tongue's front. Waving in the wind.
Yeah.
Like someone made dog. That. Someone that game got made. Think about like
it
somebody from
made.
Beginning
and Lucas
to end.
Liked it. So
I don't.
It was
think
made
I
for
it.
Lucas. Oh, never mind.
He just wants a new. He wants.
Yeah.
He
just wants.
He
a
wants
new
to see
one.
Mario Kart dethroned, and he doesn't give a shit who does it.
Jar Jar.
It ain't gonna be
Jar Jar. Is
that's
the guy
sure.
who's gonna do it.
Bantha Poodoo.
I didn't like Blur either. You didn't like Blur. Everyone
like
else
it.
Liked Blur.
It was too rubber bandy. It was like pure rubber bandy. Like they're not even trying to hide it.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, what rubber banding is. What is rubber banding?
It's when, in a racing game, if you're ahead by a lot, the cars will magically catch up to you. If you're behind by a lot, they'll magically slow down.
You'll have, and it's like, in Mario Kart, it's the blue shell is the definitive rubber band technique. Just the idea that, like, you're far away, they give you an item that can get the person in first fucked over.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that they're trying to make everyone, like a rubber band, snap back to the middle.
I see.
Mario Kart has turned it into an art. It still sometimes goes too far. Mm-hmm. Blur was essentially a gigantic rubber band.
All right.
But yeah, Great American Fan Art Challenge number 2. Picture box
Radio
art,
Radar.
Radio Radar, the
kart
the
racer.
Kart racer. and that one we probably will be able to post on the site.
Yeah.
So you can send that in to GregH@GamesRadar.com or RadioRadar@GamesRadar.com or send it to our Twitter, GR Radio Radar. We'll retweet it
And
watch our live streams.
Watch our live streams.
I just gave away some awesome wireless headphones.
Sure,
Sound Blaster wireless headphones.
Yeah, and also watch Radar Plays. We do three times a week at least. We do video shows where we're playing games, and it's essentially 20-minute segments from this podcast.
I mean, if you're listening to this, imagine listening to this plus a cool
watching
video.
Stuff.
Yeah. And we do. Yeah, we do. Lucas hosts
Seeing
Freaky, which
faces.
Is weird games. Henry hosts Retro, which is retro. Ryan hosts Shuffle, which is just whatever, and I host new releases, so we do whenever there's a new release, you can watch that. So be sure to do all of that, and like us on iTunes, comment, blah, blah, blah. We'll talk to you next week! So, tungsten?
Tungsten. Cool.
Tungsten!
'Bout Ben? Is more responsible for the fraying of our moral fabric?
All right.
Whoever wrote that?
Easy. Easy one.
Play face down, please.
No.
What are you, so confident
I'm
in your
so
play?
I'm so confident that I can just bet a million. Bet a mil. Because I bet on Epic Mickey. Here's a fun
Hello.
Fact. Here's a fun fact that some of you could probably guess about
this
me.
This better be fun.
When I was 5 years old, my mom took me to Disneyland. And rather than reveling in the joy that is Disneyland, she constantly maligned Mickey Mouse as a greedy little rodent. and so I have carried that with me today, and that is why I feel like Epic Mickey is
the best part of that force. Is when you explained it, Ryan didn't look like he was humored at all. He was just like, God, like annoyed at your mom. Like you looked annoyed at his mom.
What it was like, this isn't a reason for this game being a corruptive force. It's more of your personal tale of motherly abandonment.
Woe and misfortune.
I feel like
Wild
I just
true,
had deja vu.
But Epic Mickey and the whole industrio
next
Disney complex is just bringing down what is in
I
fact
went with the Prince of Persia.
Okay.
Because
one reason why.
What?
Go on.
I went with the Prince of Persia because, as far as I know, Persia isn't still considered a place.
That's so racist.
It's not. It's more
now.
It's actually true. Yeah.
Wait. Oh gosh.
And,
it's now
Saudi Arabia.
Yes. Thank you.
And that's almost like making a game called like Whore of the Orient.
Uh huh.
Like it's not a you can't like it's an antiquated term.
Is that the place where people rode the elephants with spears and stuff?
That was a Hannibal Lecter.
Carthage.
I went with where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Because it glorifies
San Diego.
I said San Diego. It glorifies
Saint
thievery,
Diego,
and basically this
Lord
teaches
Diago.
Kids. Not only does it King teach them Saints. Geography, it teaches them how to steal and how
like
revered criminals are.
For how to steal, say, I don't know, the Empire State Building.
Correct.
How do you make off with that? You get a
You
want to
know? Go play Go.
How do you steal the moon?
Sandiego.
You're Carmen Sandiego. That's how. All right. So the clear winner here is Bejeweled. And, you know, while it certainly helped bring many, many more people into the gaming fold with its addictive, easy-to-grasp nature, here's also what it did. It made people sit on toilets for way longer than they should, making it so other people can't poop when they have to. Also,
contributed
it made
to
it
a
so
shit culture.
Also,
of shit.
It made it so mothers forgot to feed their children while they played Bejeweled, so their kids starved to death and died.
They deserved
it. It made it so fathers really hated their child's inability to play baseball. And it just in general, you know, is a corrupting force.
There's also news about that right now, because in the commercial for the Bejeweled board game, they're like, this is for girls. Penny Arcade told me that.
Okay.